speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
I was reading this past week of a little boy who was 4 years old and getting ready to turn 5. And his mother is trying to get him, because for the entire year that he's 4, people would ask him, "How old are you?" And he would say, "I'm 4 years old." And his mother has been asking him, "How old are you going to be on your birthday?" And he says, "I'll be 5 years old." And she says, "No, honey," says, "you'll be 5 years old." And she says, "When you say that, pop out your thumb to show I will be 5 years old." So she asks him time and again, "How old will you be on your birthday?" And he says, 5. And she says, "Now what did I say?" And he says, "Okay, I'll be a handful." As children, we can most certainly be a handful to our mothers. And today, as we think about our mothers, also as we come together to worship and praise God, we also, though, want to give honor to our mothers. Your love for God, your love for your family, and your love for even strangers, people that you do not know, is such a blessing and an encouragement. Your compassion, as the preacher here, I have been blessed to witness many of you in your home settings and the way in which you deal with your family members. You are indeed a blessing to see the way in which you love, the compassion, concern that you have for your families, your sacrifice. Mothers sacrifice so much of themselves, and they don't think anything about it. And as they sacrifice so much of themselves, they also don't ask anything in return. And moms, today is your day, wherein that I hope that indeed your family will express and show in various ways how much they love and appreciate you. Your dedication, devotion to God, is such a blessing and an encouragement. So today I want to begin by saying thank you and happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. As I think about mothers, I started to look to different mothers of the Bible and to think about what type of a lesson would I want to convey to our mothers today as we celebrate what it is that you represent to your families, as well as what you represent or bring even to our congregation. And there's one lady that kind of stood out in my mind, at least for this lesson, as to what I want to bring to our mothers today, and that is Jochebed. I believe that in Jochebed we have a portrait of a godly mother. To begin with, I want us to think about her credentials. Who was she in the sight of God? And what is it that God uses with regard to who she represented in regard to her relationship with Him, not only in her life, but also for His people? To begin with, we understand is that this lady is an Israelite. God established Israel as His special people for the purpose, we understand, in an ultimate scheme of things, to bring Jesus Christ, our Lord, into the world. And therefore, we need to understand is that she was a part of this people, the people that God had set apart. But also, it's interesting, as you read from Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, she is of the tribe of Levi. There were 12 tribes in Israel, and she is of the tribe of Levi. Well, what's the significance of that? The tribe of Levi is the ones that God used for mediators over Israel. They were the priest and the high priest, and they had to come from the tribe of Levi in order to serve in that capacity. As we think, though, with Jochebed, a lot of times she will simply be remembered as the mother of Moses. And we should never remember a people as the mother or the father of so-and-so, correct? They have a name, they have an identity, and Jochebed has a very special place in regard to our God. We understand is that God appointed her sons as leaders over Israel. And as we think about Moses, we understand that to begin with, he is a reluctant leader, at least in part. He does not feel as if he is qualified, and therefore he makes all kinds of excuses as to why he will not serve as a proper leader to lead Israel out of their Egyptian oppression or bondage. And then God also, though, answers that and says, "Is not Aaron your brother? And he is one who has the ability to speak unto the children of Israel. And therefore, the excuses that Moses was making that would disqualify him, God says, you don't have any excuses at all. I'm going to use you. And why does God use Moses and Aaron in the forefront of leading Israel out? I believe that in part, it has a lot to do with their parents. It has a lot to do with their father as well as Jochebed. And as we think, though, in regard to the way in which this would apply to us, ladies today, mothers, I want you to think about your relationship with God and how vital it is for your homes. To begin with, I believe that you need a relationship with God for yourself. I'm reminded of what is stated there at Pentecost, whenever the Lord's church began, as Peter has concluded his lesson. There is a multitude who has a question for him in regard to what God requires. They became pricked in their hearts and wanted to know these matters. And Peter said, repent therefore and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And Peter then goes on to explain, he says, save yourself from this perverse generation. And today, ladies, mothers, I want to encourage each and every one of you to begin with, think about the need for you to have a relationship with God for yourself. Don't think about your family. We're going to think about them here in just a minute. But think about yourself. You ought to aspire to know the true and living God. But also, you ought to have a motivation, a determination within yourself to say, I want to serve God here in this life so that whenever Jesus Christ returns, I will also now be able to go on into heaven and dwell eternally with our God. So therefore, think about your relationship with God to begin with for yourself, but also think about your relationship with God for your families. I read a book several years ago. The author is William J. Murray. That name may not really mean a whole lot to you until I tell you who his mother was. His mother was Madeline Murray O'Hara. And the title of the book is My Life Without God. And he talked about the fact that his mother, Madeline Murray O'Hara, is a renowned atheist who is responsible for the removal of prayer from school. She, in fact, was an advocate of removing God from everything. And I think that her influence is even seen into this very day. That's why we're finding so much craziness and why we're trying to, as a nation and as a world even, take God out of everything. But he wrote in this book, My Life Without God, how it was growing up in a godless society. That is, in a home where that your mother does not believe in God. He says that his mother was constantly engaged in profanity. His mother was engaged in extortion. His mother was engaged in embezzlement. His mother was engaged in all sorts of things that was unethical and immoral from a human standpoint. And that he never had a chance, really, at a youthful age to understand that there is truly a God in heaven who loves us. And ladies, mothers, today I want to encourage you not to be like Madeline Murray O'Hara. Believe in God, not only for yourself, but believe in God for your families. You are important to God, and you are special to your families, and you are influencing your families in some major ways. And therefore, stand today for your families as a believer in God, but also for the world. I couldn't stop but think as I was developing this lesson, if every lady in the world was a member of the Lord's church, can you imagine how the world would be? We would be not only a world that believes in God, we would be a world that is centered around God. And we wouldn't have all of the craziness that we have today. And today we have all of this ungodliness going on where that God is being put out of everything. And the only way in which we're going to be able to bring God back into the picture is through our homes. And mothers, you play a very significant role in helping to establish the foundation upon which I hope and pray that someday this nation of ours will return. Think about your relationship with God and how important it is for you, your soul's sake, but also for others. As we think about Jochebed too, I think of her courage. Jochebed refused to give into a godless system. And this godless system is where the Pharaoh had ordered, he saw that the Israelites were growing in number. And therefore he feared that they would overtake them, the Egyptians. And as a result of that, if you note Exodus chapter 1 and verse 16, there's a decree that's issued. He says unto the midwives, whenever you go into those who are going to give birth into a child, as they're sitting on the birth stool, if they give birth into a male child, you kill that child. And if they give birth into a daughter, you allow the daughter to live. And that decree, as it goes out, no doubt, Jochebed and her husband has conceived a child, if you read from chapter 2 and verse 1. And in that conception now, she understands what the consequences will be whenever she gives birth into a son. Moses is what we understand him from the context of Scripture. And she, as I was thinking of this lesson, looks at that decree and she says, nobody has taken my child. No one's going to say that my child's life isn't worthy of living. No one's going to take this child that my husband and I have been responsible for bringing into the world. No one is going to kill this child that God has given unto me. Now let's think about the consequences of such a decision. Defying the Pharaoh's rule could have cost her dearly. If he had known about this, he would have just simply marched in, or had his cronies march in, if you would, and take the child and kill the child. Wouldn't have mattered. Kind of sounds like our world today, does it not, with abortion? I don't get that at all. But in regard to this, too, it could have cost her life. She laid her life on the line for this child whom she loved. She was not willing to give in to the decree of the Pharaoh. Instead, what we find is that she went and hid the child for 3 months. And what's the significance of the 3 months? The Scripture identifies until she realized she could no longer hide the child again. And then what does she do? The Bible identifies is that she put him in a basket and she put him upon the river. She put him out into the water. But she didn't send him out there, but rather she took and put him in the reeds. Moms, is that not courageous enough within itself? Does that not also display her love for the child, her compassion and care for the child? But also, does that not in like figure display her trust in God, her confidence in God? How that she knew that if God had blessed her with a child, and if she rebelled against the law of the land, whenever the law of the land was certainly going against the law of God, is that God was going to intervene, that God was going to take care of making certain that that child lived and that that child had its place in life. And we know from the context of Scripture that indeed God did providentially work through Moses' sister to bring in Jochebed, so that whenever Pharaoh's daughter found the child and took him in to raise, that Jochebed is able to come in and to nurse the child. So God was indeed working behind the scenes. And today I want to encourage our mothers to be courageous for your children. Be there for your kids. Support them. Growing up in this world today has many challenges. I remember when I was just knee-high to a grasshopper myself, going through school, and the kids' peer pressure, it can be really challenging. And going to school and being teased, there was a time when I was a really heavy-set kid, and I would go to school and my kids would say, and I may date myself in saying this, Fat Albert. The kids would tease me for being overweight. And I wasn't alone. The kids pick on each other. I even was guilty of that. Pick on other kids and things of that nature. And kids can get so downtrodden, so downbeat, and they come home and they need to have mom and dad to wrap their arms around them, to support them. But also, if you're pregnant and expecting a child, don't give in to the law of the land that says you can go off and have an abortion. Be courageous. And understand that God has blessed you, and even though sometimes the circumstances of that child being brought into this world is not right, that child represents a life, and that child can live and do great things here in this world if you will give your life over to God, as what we first talked about, and raise that child in the Lord. understand is that you can be there for that child and support them and give them, also mothers, make sure that you give them advice along the way that will lead them in a godly manner, and pray for them continually, and let your children know that you're praying for them, that they will be able to overcome the challenges of life, and that they will be successful in life, but above all, that they will be successful in regard to our God and having a relationship with Him. As I think about Jochebed also, I think about her conviction, her faith. Jochebed was motivated, I believe, by her strong faith and commitment to our God. And as we think about Pharaoh's decree, I tried to think of it from a mother's standpoint. Now, I'm not a mother, so you've got to give me some leeway here. But at the same time, I know from a father's standpoint, the way that I would have felt about it. If giving your child over and having that child killed, that would have been a very terrible thing, a very emotional time. And therefore, as I think about Jochebed, I can only imagine the emotional pain as she is pregnant and getting ready to conceive or getting ready to bring forth that child into the world and realizing the consequences that could come upon her child if indeed Pharaoh were to understand that that child was being born. But also, it would have left her in a very hopeless situation, a dire strait, to state it simply. Yet this lady trusted in God in her every move that she made. As she is invited to come into Pharaoh's house and to nurse the child, she is trusting God to work providentially. I couldn't help but think to myself, were there not questions? Why did you choose Jochebed? Why not some other Egyptian mother to bring in? Some Israeli mother to bring in? Why Jochebed? She didn't think about these things, or it didn't bother her. Why? Because she was trusting in God. She had a faith that was second to none. And moms, today I tell you that your faith is imperative in raising your children. What is faith? The faith that we're talking about is a belief in God. And a belief in God that says that there's no way that there is no God. I'm 100% sure that God is alive and that God is eternal and that God sent Jesus Christ into this world and that God is going to send Him again, and at that time we will all stand before God in judgment, and that God has a reward for those who are living their life faithful before Him. Moms, have that conviction in your life that says, I believe in God no matter what. But also understand that in order for your faith in God to be to that level, you've got to be a lady of the Word, reading and studying the Scripture every single day of your life. Be as that individual that Paul calls us all to be by inspiration in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and verse 16. Rooted and grounded in the truth. What does it mean to be rooted? It means like a tree putting down roots. And the older that tree gets, the deeper those roots go, the stronger hold it has to the ground. Rooted and grounded in the truth. Not being moved by anything. Not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. If you take the context of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and verse 16. But standing and understanding what the truth of the matter is whenever it comes to God's Word, as it pertains to doctrinal issues and as it pertains to even essential things for life. Be rooted and grounded in the truth, and therefore read and study the Scripture. But also, have a faith that is demonstrated unto your families. How do you demonstrate your faith unto your families? Let them see you live out your profession of faith every day in front of them as a family unit. Let them see your profession of faith every day as you go out in society. Let them see your profession of faith every Lord's Day in coming to worship services every time that the saints meet on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Being involved in the Bible classes, and that not only gives you a chance to grow your faith, but it also allows your family to be connected in their classes to grow their faith, helping to bring the family unit into a greater love and faith to our God. Understand the significance of being together with the saints for fellowship and things of this nature, wherein that we are indeed rooted and grounded in the faith. Demonstrate your faith, but also teach your faith verbally. Take the opportunities that God affords you to sit down with your children and to teach them the will of God. But dads, don't let them do it alone. We need to make sure that we are also a part of that process. As a father, we are head of the house. And as the fathers who are head of the house, according to God's law, we need to be actively involved with the mother, with our wives, in helping to teach and to train our children according to the way of God, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I want to remind us of what is said to Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Timothy is reminded there to stand firm in the faith, which was once in his mother and grandmother, which was first in his mother and grandmother. Does that not speak volumes about the influence, about the impact, the impression that a mother leaves upon her children? Not only the mom, even the grandmother. Both Eunice and Lois were responsible for the faith that Timothy had. And that tells me, I believe, as we would tie into this, is that by what we've been saying, they demonstrated their faith and they taught the faith that has brought this young lad along to not only where he has obeyed the gospel, but friends, also, what is it that Timothy represented in the New Testament times? He was a gospel preacher in the Lord's church. And ladies, encourage your children to grow, to be productive citizens in the world, but above all, to teach them to be productive citizens in the kingdom of our God. But to also, as I think about Jochebed, I see her compensation. She was rewarded, was she not, for what it is that she has done. Jochebed took the child and nursed him. She is rewarded by God by allowing her daughter to come and to select her. No doubt that would have been the selection she made, but why is that afforded to her? It's because God is working behind the scenes. Why does God work behind the scenes to allow her to nurse this child? Friends, I believe it's because of what she did and not going along with the decree that the Pharaoh had issued. Moses' mother serves as a perpetual example to mothers today. We see a lady who had credentials, a relationship with God. We find a lady of great courage and a woman with great faith. And she is rewarded because of what it is that she did in the sight of God. And to our mothers today, I want you to know that your love and your labor for your family will bring amazing rewards to you in this life. To begin with, you will have no greater joy than to see your children grow and to be able to go out in life and to fend for themselves and to be responsible parents at some point, hopefully in their life. That within itself is a reward, is it not? But also, if you raise your children in the Lord, if you are rooted and grounded in the truth and you demonstrate before them what it means to be a Christian, you teach them, and your children come to that point where that they live their life 100% devoted to God, what a blessing that is to you, a reward that you will feel, and your husband as well, and the congregation will be blessed as a result of that. But friends, also, God has a reward for you as a mother. If you live your life faithful before God and do with your family as God commands, He has a place for you in heaven someday. We love each and every one of you very much. And from what I see out of the majority, you're doing all that you can to raise your family in God. If you're falling short in some area, we want to encourage you to do better. And in that, ask yourself each month or each quarter of the month or maybe on an annual basis, how well am I doing? And what is it that I need to do better as a mother? And as a Christian, as a role that God has given me in my home. While the lesson today has been particularly around moms, to express our love and to give instruction, Also, though, we want each one to think about your relationship with God. Are you a Christian? Have you confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, sadly, you do not have a relationship with God. Yet at the same time, on a happy note, you can have a relationship with God before you leave here today if you will do those things in obedience to God's commands. It may be that we have a brother or sister here who has walked away from God. They stand in need of our prayers. We will pray with you and for you that you will be forgiven and be restored. If you're subject to the Lord's call or invitation in any way, please come as together we